It is Saturday Insider. How you doing, everybody? Where am I? Yes, I know that's your first question. Behind me is a house, and it is a house that belongs to this young lady, Brenda O'Neill. She is a, get this, she's a member of the body of Christ. She's such an insider. It's unbelievable. There she is again. All right, and on my right is a man named
Dale Ray.
Is Dale Ray. He like, yeah, there he is. He's Dale a rock
Ray.
And roller.
He's a rock.
He is a rock and a roller. Oh, yeah, look at that hand gesture. Do that again. Oh, yeah, there it is. It is Friday night, October 12th, and I'm in Fairfield, California, which is near Oakland, and therefore near San Francisco, mm-hmm. right? And it's, once again, I'm so happy to be with two fellow members of the body of Christ. Brenda is a mutual friend of Dale's and mine, and she has been ill. You've been sick for a couple years now, right?
Four
years. What's this crazy thing that's going on with you? And then she's going to tell you something that she just told us like a couple hours ago, and I want you to hear it because I think it's profound. But yeah, what happened?
Well, it was a long time coming. I've been sick for 4 years with just a complex disease that they don't really even know what to call it, but the immune system is involved, neurological, stomach. It just made for a very miserable life. I lived in a darkened room for at least 6 months. I couldn't really talk to anybody, so I just laid in the dark. And it was a very, very hard on my faith, but it definitely, it grew me. But during that time, I lost a lot of weight, and I was 85 pounds. And I'm not sure what happened, except that I hadn't slept. Not sleeping is another part of it. I hadn't slept in 3 days. I was only 85 pounds. And my heart was really working very hard to keep me alive. And I had, if you want to call it a near-death experience, I'm not really sure if that's an accurate statement, but I went into a, you know, like a rigor mortis state, and couldn't, you know, numbness across my body. And but there was this, all while this was happening, I mean, I was, like I said, in rigor mortis. I really couldn't move. I couldn't speak.
You thought that was it?
I thought, you know, my husband was crying out because apparently I was moaning incessantly, and I couldn't tell him anything. And I felt like I thought this was it. I was talking to God while it was happening and just saying, actually, thank you.
That's the amazing thing to me.
Yeah, I was so, so thrilled to be going, and I had no fear, zero fear. I just kept waiting for it to come, for him to take my spirit. This is Pablo.
That's Pablo.
And he didn't.
Hi, Pablo. God didn't take your spirit. I mean, you understand, I know that you understand what death is.
Yes.
Of course. Death is the absence of life, or the spirit returns to God, and the soul goes to the unseen, and
yes,
the body. And so you understood that to die is to not exist. And yet what so impresses me is that you have confidence in Christ who will resurrect you.
Yes.
And you've gone through hell for 4 years. And at the moment that really people fear the most, death, you felt nothing but peace. Go, give it. I want to get as much detail from you on that feeling, because I suspect that that's what God does when that's, people die. I suspect. I've heard this, right, Dale? Mm-hmm. People have said, you know, that have had. Now, this isn't a near-death experience as far as going, you know, actually experiencing thing while you're dead. You're not experiencing anything while you're dead, but people have talked about a peace. Mm-hmm. And now here's you, a fellow member of the body of Christ, so.
It's very real. The peace is very, very real. And I was talking to God through it, and I felt His presence there, right there with me, I was just calming. I was very calm, but then when I realized, I could just feel Him saying, "No, it's not. I'm not coming for you yet." It was very that was discouraging, but the part where I thought I was going to leave, I understand death. I understand it means basically a dirt nap. I'm gonna not exist for however long. He made that okay for me. He made that something.
Right.
I was peaceful about it, and God just knows what He's doing, and I think He does that for everybody.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think He does that just for believers. I think He does it to everybody.
Yeah.
And we all have nightmares about death, but God is merciful even in that.
Yes, He is, most definitely.
Yeah, God has mercy on us. And Brenda, and by we all hung out together 3-4 years ago when I was in California for a meeting in Glendale. Brenda was at the meeting, Dale was at the meeting, and we hung out together. In fact, I'm going to show you some pictures of us. As you're hearing me, I'm showing you a photo. That's Brenda and me at a restaurant in Glendale. And now there is Dale and Brenda. Everybody wants their turn getting a photo with Brenda. Brenda's like Santa Claus at the mall in December. Everybody wants to sit on Brenda's lap, tell her what they want for Christmas. Okay, right. Now, so we were just talking about this today. I mean, and Brenda has been very sick, and as you just heard, she almost died. And so Dale and I wanted to come here and see her before we rule and reign, because we know that the three of us, we're hardcore. We thought, what a mercy of God to let us get together again.
Yes.
And so
yes,
here we are, and we haven't seen each other for 4 years, but we're together. And I flew out here. No place I'd rather be than right here. So Dale picked me up at Oakland Airport today. Flew in from Fort Lauderdale this morning. Which brings us to Mr. Dale Ray. He is a rock and roll dude, but most importantly, he's a member of the Body of Christ. And he was telling me something just a few hours ago that I thought was quite a paradox. Tell us a little bit about your roller coaster route
right
to the faith.
Well, I slowly came to Jesus or had the born again thing when I was like 11 years old, and then immediately thereafter I just kind of left it behind, but you know, always knew something was special about this Jesus.
Right.
But in my 20s I lived in San Diego, and I was just a wild man.
I can believe that.
I was all over the place. Just everything, all the time. So what the contemporary Christian or evangelical world would call me, backslidden, or maybe never even got there to backslide, just was always out there. And on the outside to them, I'm sure I would have appeared worldly, lost, whatever. But I noticed that in thinking back, as wild as I was way more, I had way less fear about anything. I was fearless. And like one example I told you, I was coming home from a club one night, and there was this guy in the dark on the side of the road, in this big guy with a big green army jacket. And he's like, and like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I stopped and I picked him up.
You picked the guy up.
And he was on his way to jail.
How beautiful.
And so I took him. And there were other instances.
Well, that's not only being fearless, but you had a heart for the guy.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you actually cared for the guy.
Right. And there were other instances dealing with homeless people, and like this one guy on the beach. I know I came across him one night, and I just, whatever I had, I just gave it to him.
Wow.
And a lot of other experiences like that. So
And in the meantime, while you're doing that, you're living the life of a total heathen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Clubs and women and wine and song and the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I think somehow I was on the inside, I felt like a purity of faith or just compassion for people. And fearlessness comes into that where you're not afraid of somebody. You just, if it seems appropriate, you dive in.
Yeah.
And you interact with the people. So
that's beautiful.
That was during the 80s. And then I had a number of things with some breakups and a breakup of a band, which really tore me apart. That was the hardest thing. And so I ended up moving from San Diego up north to Orange County. And the depression caused me to drink more. And I ended up getting kicked out of a couple of bars. I never went to jail, but I was getting pretty wild. And then I met a girl. And she was a evangelical Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And someone that I wanted to take care of.
Right.
So I decided, okay, this is out of, I've got to clean up my act. So in essence, I did. I cleaned up my act, started going to church with her, and it didn't take long until I realized that a great switcheroo had happened. And I cleaned myself up on the outside. I stopped all the wildness.
Right.
But I noticed that I started being more fearful, less compassionate.
Wow.
I wouldn't pick up a hitchhiker.
Right.
I wouldn't approach a homeless person on the street and give them all my change.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
And so back in the 80s, the wild days, it was like I was dirty, filthy on the outside, but I had a cleanliness and a purity on the inside. And then when I started going to church, I got clean on the outside, but then I was dirty on the inside.
God, you're just about literally quoting the parable of Christ when he compared the Pharisees to whitewashed tombs. That's
right.
Exactly what they were.
Right, and that's what I was becoming.
You became a whitewashed tomb. You're pure, looking pure on the outside, but...
And it took a number of years till I finally realized that, you know, I saw what was happening, and I eventually, thankfully, got out of the church, the organized church.
Oh, so now that's part three. That's act three of this movie that you've been in.
Right.
So the third act, how would you compare that to the first two acts? Compare and contrast. You started as a crazy guy.
Mm-hmm.
No God in your life, really, but you had this inward love for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And this inward purity. Then you became an outward... You became a whitewashed tomb. And then, so this third thing, how did this third phase come about, the third act in the...
Well, when I was going to church, in the second act, I never fit in. I knew it. Something was wrong here. You know, this is just not... And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I would study the Bible, and it would make me mad. And I would get scared reading, you know, the King James Version. Or the NIV, or whatever it was I was trying to find out, you know, what's going on here. And I would just get frustrated with it, and I couldn't. It was just a bad time, spiritually. And then by the grace of God, I came across some teaching on the internet, and then...
You said you found L. Ray Smith.
I found L. Ray Smith
first. Eternal Torment thing.
Yep.
You found out that there was no such thing as eternal torment.
And I devoured his stuff on hell.
Yeah.
And free will.
And then you found Tent Maker.
It was funny because when I first came across it, it scared the hell out of me. And I don't know why. I was like, if this is true, and something in me is telling me it is true, this is scaring me to death.
Hmm.
I'm not sure where that fear came from. Like, I interpreted it as the enemy trying to keep me away from this truth.
Yes.
I powered through it.
Yes, good for you.
And I made it to the other side. And eventually came across you and others. And...
That's a beautiful...
And that's been over a decade, and I never looked back.
You can't look back. You can't look back now. Now, Brenda, you've never been any kind of wild or crazy person, have you? I mean, you were a Girl Scout, and...
No, I have a very checkered past I'm not proud of. I don't know if... I can't say the same thing, because I was raised really religiously, and so while... that period was going on, I did feel guilty and, you know, all kinds of crap. But one thing I want to point out while I've been sitting here thinking.
Yes.
that how under attack we are. And
yeah,
I don't think sometimes we even have any idea just how much we're under attack. My sickness started the day I met Martin, to be frank. I mean, it literally started that day.
Wow.
And
the day you met me?
Yes.
Wow.
And for 4 years, I just disintegrated to the point of, like I said, near death. And now I'm coming out the other side, but I don't think that's any coincidence. I think that, you know, it felt like Job. It just felt like they said, you know, do what you will with her, but don't kill her. Mm. And it, you know, it took me to very, very great depths. And so we are not fighting flesh and blood.
No, you're
right. There's no doubt. So, you know, we know we're, God is, you know, going to get us through it.
In my shows lately, I've been talking about this whole thing where there's something above and beyond just being a member of the body of Christ. There's something above and beyond salvation. Mm. That there's being prepared for something more. Like Paul suffered, and Paul went through this terrible things. And as you said, it was spiritual warfare. But it's above and beyond salvation. Paul talked about running a race, and he talked about getting a wreath. And I think all of this has to do with, I mean, we were kind of joking earlier about ruling and reigning with Christ, but this is no joke. Mm-hmm. This is no joke. And it comes with suffering. If we're enduring, that's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are enduring, we'll be reigning together with him. You can't endure unless you have something to endure. Mm-hmm. And you did. I was in contact with Brenda through this terrible time, and every time you call me, some new thing had attacked your body. Mm-hmm. And the doctors didn't know what it was, and it was terrible. Mm-hmm. And it was a Job-like experience.
Yeah. And there were moments, you know, when I lay in that dark room and I tried to feel God, you know, and I was met with a big giant silence.
Oh, and that's tough.
It's faith building, though. You know,
yes,
that's
it is.
What he, I still knew he was there. So yeah, he is molding us and shaping us, each of us, in his own way and through his own means and whatever it may be. I know the body of Christ is suffering greatly. I feel that.
It's true. Everybody's suffering.
Yeah.
I talk to a lot of
all different forms.
And it comes in all different forms.
All different forms.
That you try to share with, and they don't.
Relations or emotional suffering. Brenda has physical suffering, but that leads to emotional suffering for sure.
Yeah.
And alienation.
And it's all relative, you know. Mm-hmm. To your what you're going through is the worst thing, you know.
Yeah.
And God has His own trials tailor made for us, but it's one thing to talk about it. I mean, you're talking about it, Brenda, in the trench, which is impressive. It's impressive for somebody in it to be saying, I know that this is faith building.
Well, I'm, you know, coming out the other side now. So that's what amazes me is he's given me another chance. You know, I thought that was the end of it.
I know. I know. It did. That was... But. That you had such peace during that episode.
Yeah.
And happiness even. You were giddy. I think when you told me on the phone, you were giddy about leaving this
wicked
eon.
Yeah.
As they say, their fate's worse than death. So, and that's where I felt at that time. So, but then he all of a sudden gave me this turnaround and nobody can really explain it. So... He just, who knows what God has in store for us. It's,
well, then I think it helped you.
Guessing.
I think it helped you to find out that Dale and I were coming, right?
Yeah,
did
for
that,
sure.
I mean, just because you haven't really not that much fellowship.
No, I have no fellowship, zero. So, yes, I believe that God God allowed this trip. This is orchestrated. Of course it is. I mean, as we know, because he orchestrates everything.
Yeah.
And he gave, this is a gift to me and for the three of us, I believe. And, you know, Martin and I used to talk and, you know, we'd kind of get teary and we'd say, you know, I probably will never see you again on this side. It'll have to be on the other. And here we are.
Yeah.
So.
God pulled a fast one on us.
Yeah.
You know, we always think it's terrible what pessimists we've become in this era, but we always think when God pulls a fast one on us, he's gonna screw us over somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just your default thinking. You know, forgive us, God, but, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. But God pulled a fast one on us, and he's got my beautiful Brenda and the gorgeous Dale Ray, and there's no place I would rather be than right here. And I know that you like it when I visit other members of the body of Christ, because everybody's lonely as heck out there, and I know you're suffering. Not only are you lonely, but you're going through some terrible thing. And so at least through this video you can vicariously experience the joy that we're having right now here on the West Coast.
Yes.
So we're gonna be here till Monday. Dale's taking me back to the airport in Oakland on Sunday night, and then on Monday morning I'm coming back to Fort Lauderdale. But Brenda has turned over a new leaf, and as Arnold Schwarzenegger once famously said, we'll be back.